ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रुत्वा इतक्षत्रयान् भिक्ष्णम् अच्युता प्रियचेष्टितम् यया स्यात् क्लेश संशयः भक्तिर्भगवत्। वर्ड फॉर वर्ड मीनिंग, श्रुत्वा बाय हियरिंग, एतत् दिस, श्रद्धया विद फेथ, अभिक्षणम रिपीटेडली, एक्टिविटीज भवेत् डेवलप्स, भक्ति ही डिवोशन, भगवती अंटू द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड, complete diminution, his pure character attains the pure devotional platform and executes pure devotional service. The narration of Dhruva Maharaj, and who repeatedly tries with faith and devotion to understand his pure character, attains pure devotional platform and executes pure devotional service. By such activities, one can diminish the threefold miserable condition of material life. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here the word Achyuta Priya is very significant. Dhruva Maharaj's character and reputation are great because he is very dear to Achyuta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Lord are pleasing to hear, hearing about his devotees who are very dear to the Supreme Person is also pleasing and potent. If one simply reads over and over again about Dhruva Maharaj, by hearing and reading this chapter, one can attain the highest perfection of life in any way he desires. Most importantly, he gets the chance to become a great devotee. To become a great devotee means to finish all miserable.
Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudham Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitam Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brinda Baneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpataru Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. We're continuing with the Shruti Phala. As yesterday Kesha Prabhu was mentioning, he was explaining that especially in Chaitanya Charitamrita we hear a lot. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives a lot of Shruti Phal. Shruti Phal means a result or a fit or results one can get from hearing such pastimes. So, continuing with yesterday's Shruti Phal today, yesterday lot of material benefits were given. Going to heavenly planets and then desiring wealth, reputation, increased duration of life. But today, the Shruti Phal, the benefit of hearing this pastime goes to level of pure devotion. So it's explained in the purport, in the verse itself, that and executes pure devotion. So it actually can bring a question in one's mind that is, just by hearing this pastime will I develop pure devotional service? Just by hearing such pastimes? Anyone can hear, hundreds of people hear Bhagavad Katha and they hear such pastimes. So they develop pure devotional service, they develop the attitude for pure bhakti. Answer is yes and no. Because if the speaker who is speaking about those pastimes is himself a pure devotee of the Lord, and his purpose of explaining this pastime is to glorify the Supreme Lord and his devotees, that has a very different impact on the audience altogether. So, based on the need, based on the purpose of which the speaker is speaking about such pastimes, and then the audience, can you get a chair? And when the audience goes with a certain intention to hear such katha, both makes a lot of difference in the result, the outcome of it. So if the audience is going just to eradicate one's sinful reactions, which many people do go for Bhagavad Kathas, or go to temple, or go for kirtan, that let's reduce some burden, because it's overload now. Let's do some donation, let's do some charity, some seva, let's go and chant some holy names of the Lord in temple. Too much of burden, the load is intense now. And then with that intention, if someone comes and approaches the Supreme Lord and his pastimes and his holy name, he gets purified, but the result is not same as a devotee who approaches that same process, the same activity, with a complete different intention of pleasing the Supreme Lord. So, activities may be same, but the consciousness is the defining factor in any spiritual process. Srila Prabhupada says, some days before, Adipushpa was also mentioning that the progress of a devotee depends upon the attitude of that practitioner. That's where the progress matters. You know, we see the ISKCON is translated as is International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's not International Society for Krishna's activities. Actually, we are doing activities, but the prominence is not of the activities. The prominence is that in what consciousness it's done. So, come to our temple, you know. In our temple, we do the activity of cooking, Krishna's activities. We are a society where those same activities are done in consciousness of Krishna. That changes, that becomes the changing factor altogether. The intention of which we approach the process. Recently I was just speaking to a couple of new boys, and very interesting thing they mentioned, that after hearing Prabhupada's philosophy, he was saying that whichever temple, Gurudwara, place he has been to in his whole life, no one takes the hearer so quickly, at least theoretically, on the platform of devotional service, or no one takes one to a platform of surrender to the Supreme Lord so quickly or so easily the way Srila Prabhupada does. Srila Prabhupada is doing in his books, in his purports, in the whole education system which he has created, which we follow, as to those conclusions when we are speaking to someone who is interested in spirituality. We just don't beat around the bush much. We just very quickly come to the point that you're not the body. You have to surrender to the Supreme Lord, because you are his part and parcel. So that's how the whole system, the education, the way he has educated his followers. And he was surprised that so many things Srila Prabhupada is discussing and talking about pure devotional service, which if you speak in public forums in India, people will leave the temple or the places of worship, because they don't want to hear it. For example, if very heavily you talk about ill effects of sex desire, people become very uncomfortable in such places, because generally they don't talk about it. It's not a very comfortable subject matter to talk about. But Srila Prabhupada, in his books, in his purports, he just very directly speaks about it. Because the intention of the speaker while giving Krishna consciousness is very clear, that these are the obstacles, and unless we work on those obstacles, there is no way to go beyond, or there is no way to attain perfection, which the process actually guarantees. So, if at one side process is guaranteeing a pure devotional platform or even mukti, what to speak of just Shuddha Bhakti, such material desires are the biggest obstacles and no one speaks about it. Because either it's considered taboo or it's considered they don't want people to feel uncomfortable, and then so no one talks about these subjects. Obstacles to attain pure devotion. But if the speaker has intention of gaining more followers, gaining more popularity, like that, so the purpose is not achieved. And then the audience is also coming with a complete baggage to hear those same pastimes. He has to be trained to accept hammering initially. And when I say hammering, I mean to accept, to hear heavy instructions. Because when a new person comes with all his own load of material suffering, and then and he keeps on hearing just the flowery words, to speak of removing it. So that's why this combination of a speaker who has pure intention, complete intention, when that combination happens, the result comes out amazing, very glorious. And if you see in Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami does that. All the acharyas are doing it, and in purport Srila Prabhupada is also doing it, that they present pure devotional service, but they are training also us to accept the teachings, the message which comes along in. So when we're talking about the Shruti Phal, the results one attain from hearing such pastime, to someone who doesn't understand, who is not trained to seek pure devotion in and to hear such pastimes, you know, in my family, it's a very common thing. They would, before we became devotees, that when an auspicious time is coming in a year or someone's birthday or some program is there, then they would have a Bhagavat also, with only translations, no purports to it. And the only and only intention to go through the whole Bhagavatam is a happy result. If you in certain days, if you have to finish the whole Bhagavatam, to get to the final end in a certain number of days which he has decided, then he'll not sleep whole night. And then turns will be, mother will read, he will read, and they'll, one or two, completely different. And the idea to approach and read whole Bhagavatam. So he's chanting, he's practicing, he's because the language is not your familiar language. But still, whatever you can grasp, he was very happy. Because he was liking it this time. So when we read such things, it makes our devotion or the act of devotion, at least we can say, sin for me, what I am going to get by this many rounds of chanting. It's a lot. The first two are 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, a devotee will come and say, both are not happening. Nothing is becoming. Did you cheat me, or the process is cheating me, or I am not doing it properly? What is happening? But actually, that is attained. Miseries are dissipated. But the approach is very material. And if you read Prabhupada's purport, hundreds and hundreds of times he has mentioned fruitive mentality, fruitive devotees, fruitive activity. And very lately it devotees. But after some purification, one understands that one is a fruitive devotee. We can't even do that much offering for pleasure of Krishna. What fruit I like? So, going ahead in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is making this point that Dhruva Maharaj is very, very, and that's why he's in his pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, Dhruva Maharaj is glorified for his austerities, his intense practice of devotional service. But we see there are many other personalities who have done amazing austerities also. But they are not glorified in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam the way Dhruva Maharaj is glorified. No, not Vritrasura. Vrikasur. Vrikasur. Means Dhruva Maharaj didn't go to that extent that he was chopping off his flesh and offering. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. No, not like that. He was doing extreme austerities when you're offering to gain something. So he is glorified as the great demon in Srimad Bhagavatam. Who doesn't decide glorification, makes him a hero in Srimad Bhagavatam. The Prabhupada of even though going to US with two heart attacks. But many people get put in. Like this on Sunday, Jagannath Rampur was telling about those Navy soldiers. The amount of hard work they go through, no devotee goes through actually. Rarely few devotees go through that much of hard work. 20 hours a day of physical workout. Who does it? Maximum 8, 9, 10 hours of Harinam in minus 30 degree. But they do extreme with their bodies. But they are not glorified. They are glorified as basically. So that devotion made Dhruva Maharaj famous, and that same devotion made Srila Prabhupada very famous. You know, many people they want to leave their name behind once they are gone. Because once they are gone, who is interested in them anyways? You know, who was the great personalities in 18th century, 19th century? Most of the names we forgot. Hitler and all we remember because we only quote them many times to give examples. How many people remember these people? How many people cherish their contribution? Very few. Very few. And most of them have forgot. And that's why they have to put their names in the history books for the people to remember them and at least know about them, because they contributed something in building the society to whatever degree. There's one Frenchman who was a contemporary of Hitler. His name is Charles de Gaulle. He said a nice statement. He said that graveyard is full of indispensable men. It means graveyard is full of those people who were very important and they thought they were very important. And graveyard is full of those people who were very, very important. And some of them who wanted to leave their mark, their footprint, they decided, okay, let me write a book about myself before I die so that people can remember me. And they want people to remember them as their heroes or whatever. And they write books about themselves. But we see many powerful acharyas have also written books about themselves or approved. Srila Prabhupada, his Lilamrit was approved. That's why all the facts were documented. And Srila Prabhupada only encouraged his deities to be installed like this. Now if you see from outside point of view, material point of view, that's very arrogant. You know, you wanted your deity to be worshipped after you left. You wanted your book to be published. That my Guru Puja, everyday Guru Puja should happen for my deity in all temples of ISKCON. And if someone doesn't understand his pure devotional side, then this can be really misunderstood as similar to those men who write their own Bhagavad to do that. Was just for the propagation of Krishna consciousness and the society to stay together. The Founder Acharya course is happening very intensely in our temple under the guidance of Aniruddha Prabhu. So the whole purpose is to understand Srila Prabhupada's position. Very strong, very, very, there's a lot of emphasis is stressed on establishing Srila Prabhupada's position, and such points are also covered where his deity, everyday Guru Puja happens to him. Many times devotees will come and they do Guru Puja in the morning and they chant Jaya Guru Dev, Jaya Guru Dev. It is okay, but GBC didn't approve that because this is Prabhupada's Puja. It's actually Prabhupada's Guru Puja happening in the morning. One can pay obeisances to one spiritual master, that's always there, but Prabhupada made this happen for him to be worshipped as a founder acharya, and if he is worshipped as the center figure, then that has a complete potential to keep the society together. It was such an amazing initiative to have such courses, disciple course, founder acharya course. So So these are not the personalities like Srila Prabhupada are not egoistically driven to keep their name alive. You know, many we hear in Mahabharata and in Ramayana that we say, oh, you're a Kshatriya, don't act wrong, because in history your name will go wrong. So act wisely, act righteously, so that your name doesn't go ill in the history of mankind. And they would do, because they don't want their name to be taken in wrong context. As a unrighteous king or a prince. So they would act righteously. So, but for pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada, it's different. In Srila Prabhupada, because the whole purport is about talking about glorifying his devotees, an amazing pastime comes. Some of you might have heard that, which gives a complete, it explains his actual mood. In 1964, 1965, devotees approached him and they asked him, Babaji Maharaj, do you know Srila Prabhupada? And as soon as he heard Srila Prabhupada's name, he started crying. Because he said, I've never seen someone like that before. I've never seen someone with that intense sadhana. I've never seen someone so much dedicated. And someone is crying, someone is shouting, calling out. And because I wanted to sleep, so I didn't check. But one night it touched the floor. It was 1 AM in the night. He was sweeping the room. He was shocked that what is he doing? What is Swami Maharaj doing? And later, many years later, when he found that it is Srila Prabhupada who established Krishna consciousness throughout the world, and he made so many disciples into Sanatana Goswami, that in his book and installing his deities, there cannot be a material motive behind it. It is a very, very, very spiritual motive. Even they don't do it if it is not necessary for service of Krishna. We actually say some of our own glorifications while talking about Krishna, so that the people who are hearing speaking about how the lecture was, and then speaking them. But for someone who has no self glorification, not be considered a material action at all. Very, very pure. Actually, I'll just read exactly what Hridayanand Babaji said about Srila Prabhupada. Many arduous things. He worked very hard there at Radha Damodara temple. At the same time, he was austere. The place was very austere. It was undeveloped around the world. I was not surprised. Prabhupada spread. This is Babaji, who is not his follower. He's just his neighbor speaking about Srila Prabhupada. Today is another... speaking about the glories of devotees, today is another disappearance of two great personalities, Raghunandan Das Thakur and Vamsindas Babaji. That Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur at some time had to tell his disciples not to go near him. Not to go near him and associate with him. Because in all your mature Krishna consciousness, which you are mature, you cannot still figure out who he is. What is Vamsidas Babaji's character? So, very powerful person. Santa Saraswati Thakur's time. And even though he was from a family of fishermen. The whole business of the family was to catch fish and sell fish. So, while going to his to the work, sometimes they would pass through Gornithai temple, Nityananda Prabhu. And he was very much attracted to Narottam Das Thakur. He's developing so much attraction. He may accept renounced orders, so they quickly made him. You know, but many parents, they try this trick from India, that as soon as someone shows some spiritual inclinations, they quickly get him married. So, because with marriage, a lot of other responsibilities come, and then naturally your everything is is distracted in a way that you have to take care of those responsibilities also. You have children, you have to work, you have to maintain your family and wife. So his father did that. But he was so much attached to Gornithai by the time he got married, that in few years he just left everything and went. Went as a Babaji, lived in Navadvip. Most of the time he lived in Navadvip, but he traveled to many holy places also. One very amazing pastime happened because he was from that background, maybe that's why it happened. So one day a lady came to Selfish and approached him that these are the chosen best fishes I've got. Would you like to try some? And in his mind, he just got a desire. Oh, why not? Let me try. And then he immediately corrected himself and checked himself. But he became so upset. So upset. He was so spontaneous. No one could predict how he lacked. So he became so upset that he shouted at the lady and just chased her out. But then later, he turned towards his deities, Gornitha deities, and he started shouting at them. I have given my whole life in serving Radha Krishna. How can you bring this desire in me? He became so upset that he started chastising his deities, his Gornitha deities, and he took those deities, threw him in the Ganges, tied with the rope which is under his feet. So the rope is under the feet and the deities are in the water. Like that, he threw them in the Ganges. And people wanted to stop him and he started throwing stones at people. And he was so upset, how could you bring this desire in me to eat fish? For supporting him. But he stopped. He said, none of you should go now. And then later he called his Brahmachari disciples that, don't think that I have stopped you to go and meet Babaji Maharaj because he is in Maya. But the reality is, none of you can understand him. So don't go near him. Don't associate with him. So still when Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's disciple would come, sometimes he would accept and sometimes he would not speak and sometimes he would throw stones at them also. It's a very unpredictable personality. What would happen? What is in his consciousness is hard to figure out. But many times he would see Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj coming. He was always very gracefully receiving him. One time he said, oh, someone very dear to my Gaura is coming. When he saw Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. And one time he saw Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and he saw, oh, conditions are spiritually. And that's why they were very closely bonded. So, one very interesting pastime is there where Bamsidas Babaji had few deities, Gaur Gadadhar deities, Lord Nityananda's deities, Radha Krishna deity and Gopal, Bal Gopal. So he had his Bal Gopal deity and he went to the Jagannath Puri ocean over the beach to bathe his deities. So that's very powerful. So Bamsidas Babaji. So he was in Jagannath Puri and where he was standing near that place during Rath Yatra time, cart stopped and cart would not move and cart is just stopping and people are pulling and pulling. Same thing happened with Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj appearance time. But Bamsidas Babaji then went to near the cart and he started speaking something to Jagannath. No one knew what he is talking and then Jagannath cart started to move after that. So very intimate associate of the Lord. This is interesting. One day he cooked some sweet rice for his Gopal deity, small deity, Bal Gopal deity. He cooked sweet rice. And he cooked, because he was, you know, this is, he would do things very precisely. He would cut each vegetable, wash each grain of rice to remove if any stone comes in between. And then gradually, slowly he will cut. Because his body is also old. And he would take a lot of time to cook with lot of precision. And that means morning if he starts, offering goes in the evening. Like he's spending and he's remembering the pastimes of Radha Krishna and he's cutting and cooking. We can't do it here, you know, in 40 minutes you have to cook and offer. So, and it doesn't matter what consciousness is, what you have to be quick. And because certain time offering has to go in. But for him there was no rules. He would not offer prayers like we do here before entering altar, while leaving altar, nothing like that. And he would not chant on his beach because 24 hours he is remembering the Supreme Lord. So, very different platform. Not to be imitated in any form. So, and he would do his offering and then with all this hardship he cooked sweet rice for his deities. And then he became very upset. He threw his sweet rice and started shouting at Bal Gopal. How could you do this? How could you do this? Why did you eat? What is the item? How could you eat palm tree gud? With rice, sweet rice made of palm tree gourd. How could he eat it? And people were surprised. Why is he acting like that? And then one devotee sent a letter. He said that in Vrindavan that is offered to you and you accept it before my offering. You accepted that offering before my offering. So in Navdeep, thousands of kilometers away, that powerful Vamsidas Babaji was. So because when he was very, very old, he could barely do his service. Which for two, three days he would not even eat because he just can't do it. What to speak of offering? He would just struggle to offer something to his deities. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Gaura deity told him once that you don't worry, I'll go out and I'll beg for you. I'll do the collection. I'll do the madhukari and I'll serve you. So he picked up his stick and showed to Gaura, never talk to me like this. One time one man had cholera disease. It's a life-threatening disease. So they knew he's a Siddha Baba. No other hope, no medicine is working. So that guy came and lied in front of his house, his hut. What house? A hut. An old, broken hut. And Vamsidas Babaji didn't pay much attention. For two, 3 days he was lying there, lying down in front of his hut to get cured because they knew he had powers to do so. And for two, 3 days, he didn't even bother looking at that person. After 3 days, he comes out in front of the dead man and he takes Tulsi, which is offered to his deities, puts on his tongue and he said, okay, you're cured now, go. And that person gets up and he is cured and he goes away. So very powerful, very, very powerful Siddha Baba, perfected soul. So he performed many such pastimes while serving his deities. Today is his disappearance. He was very, very attached to Narottamdas Thakur's bhajans. Very, very attached to. He said, some of his very strong instruction is, whoever offends a devotee of the Lord, they cannot be saved. They cannot be saved. You know, one of the bhajans, it says, the poet is, I think it's Narottamdas Thakur's bhajan only, he says, Tomar prati aparadhe tare hari naam. Means if one offends Krishna, the holy name can deliver that person. Vaishnava prati aparadhe nahi paritran. But if someone offends a devotee of the Lord, there is no solution. There is no solution to that offense. Means if someone comes and starts blaspheming the deities and even throws something on the deities and shouts at the deities, but later next day he repents and he chants the holy names of the Lord, the offense can be easily removed by chanting the holy name. But if someone is doing the same thing to a devotee, the Lord just cannot tolerate it. Because once what happened, Vamsidas Babaji would never lock his house. He would say, if the owner of the house is not worried about stealing, why should I worry? So if deities are not worried, they own the house. If they are not going to protect the house, why I should worry about protecting the house? So it's their house, I am just their assistant. So he would leave one each key with each deity. And one, you can't even protect your house. Your punishment is that you will not eat anything because your cooking pots are stolen. So if you want to eat, nothing for you. For Gaura, nothing for you. There is no bhoga for you. And with long face, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is watching Nitai eating gold chain for his Gaura's deity, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's deities. So he nicely decorated Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with that gold chain. And as usual, house is not locked, it got stolen. And he came with his stick and shouting at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 2 hours. For 2 hours he was chastising Gaura-Nitai deities. And when he's chastising, later in the day, it clicked him who has the person, the thief. He said, who you are? And he pushed him in the world. Handle that offense. That person's leg got cut, he died, his whole family died. He just could not handle Vamsidas Babaji mistreated by that thief. First his leg was gone, then that thief died, and then his all family members died in very short span. One should do everything to seek forgiveness from that devil. Vamsidas Babaji, how to attain God towards his end pastimes? Didn't reply. After many days, after too much of pushing from that man, how to attain Krishna? He said the only way to form Siddhas Babaji. So today, his and Raghunandan's talk, we are very fortunate to be in line of such Vaishnavas. We are so fortunate to be in line of Vaishnavas of like Raghunandan Das Thakur, who made the deity to come and eat. So, you know, in India, very popular Bal Gopal deity, that they worship the small Bal Gopal deities. They have some sentiment for, they have kitty parties for these deities. It has become fashion to have a Gopal deity. But we are very fortunate that we are in line of those acharyas who made Krishna appear in that form of eating.
How did the man's leg get cut?
How did his leg got cut? If we are not serious about being very careful in offense, that's also not mentioned, but the message is. But that's not very important. Important is to know that this was the reaction he got by offending a devotee. Because of short time. These are great personalities.
Should be. Who?
Raghunandan Thakur? Actually, if you see Narsingadev's pastime, Narsingh Bhagavan's pastime, Narsingadev's pastime with Prahlad Maharaj, after Narsingadev appeared to Prahlad Maharaj, he was insisting Prahlad Maharaj to ask something. And Prahlad Maharaj said, I don't want anything. But he insisted. You ask something. So Prahlad Maharaj said, okay. He said, what was that verse? Was a nice verse.
Excuse my father.
No, no, no. He said, yadi dashasi me kaman, varam stvam varadarshabaha, kamanam hridaya samroham bhavatastu vrinevaram. He said, yadi dashasi, if you want to give me some benediction, O varadarshaba, O best of the giver of benediction, who can give the best benediction, then grant me this boon that never in the core of my heart material desires appear. So Prahlad Maharaj is praying like that to Narsingadev. So when we are doing a spiritual activity, see, there's, okay, understand, there are stages, you know it, you're just asking me, I see. So there are stages where one is a materialistic devotee, he approaches the Supreme Lord only for material benefit. And while approaching the Supreme Lord, purification happens, and then due to the purification, his desires or what he wants to attain from his devotional spiritual activity gets purified and it changes, and gradually he is going towards a pure desire. So when that transition is happening, a devotee who understands not to ask anything material from the Lord will ask spiritual things also from the Lord. You know, Srila Prabhupada told his disciples to pray for him that our master has not finished his work. Please give him good health. Please revive him. The master has not finished his work yet. So, but that was only and only for Krishna's pleasure. So if a desire is there, if we feel that some real obstacle is there in the heart, which is causing me to fully surrender to the Supreme Lord, whom are we going to ask it anyways? What options do we have? Other than Krishna, who is our Lord and Master, to ask something? Many devotees, if they are struggling for their PR or for their English test or this and that, one thing is there that they ask because in India they can't get a good job and make that much money. But if they are actually serious devotees, they are very scared to go back to a place where their devotional life can be hampered. So if they come in front of the deities and they are praying, that remove this obstacle. If they are actually sincerely asking for removing that obstacle so that they can be with devotees, it's a well and good desire. And then what to speak of asking, even the desire of asking purity of the heart is even further more advanced, where one is asking only and only pure devotional service and nothing else. So when it comes to praying, see, we are not on the platform of gopis where they are saying, Krishna, take a dust of the feet because for your relieving your headache for a few minutes, we are ready to go to hell eternally. Prabhupada is actually encouraging in his books to us that one should aim to go back home, back to God, and in this lifetime.
That means it's a result we want to achieve, to go back home, back to God in one life. I remember yesterday night we were talking. We were at the farm, Hare Krishna Valley, and one devotee's birthday we were celebrating. And Devamrita Maharaj was there. So we were cutting his cake, and usually, you know, we sing Hare Krishna to you, and then may you never take birth again. And Maharaj heard this and he interrupted. He says, a pure devotee doesn't mind taking birth again if Krishna wants. So he checked all of us. You know, we were wishing that devotee, may you never take birth again. But he stopped. He said, no, if required, a pure devotee will come. Again and again he'll take birth. He'll again go through the cycle of learning A, B, C, D, all struggle, if Krishna wants it. So, very advanced, intermediate, and very materialistic desire. So, based on where we are, we pray to the Lord. When it comes to, suppose, astrology, some devotees, they refer to astrology to see what is the best way to serve the Supreme Lord. And for some devotees, they say, what will astrology? I just don't care about astrology. Prabhupada gives two quotes. One quote, he says, yeah, there's no harm in knowing about astrology. Because if you know it's going to rain, you can go out with the umbrella. So astrology will tell you it's going to rain today. Example he's giving. And you can be prepared and go out with umbrella. And other place he gives a quote where he's saying that for a devotee there is nothing to worry about astrology because that's a waste of time. Depend on Krishna, fully surrender to him. So based on one's advancement, one approaches. So prayers are also like that. That's my understanding. Yes. Yeah.
When he got that is a big fish, he started to say, but he expected, you know, and then he had so much for you.
You should have protected me. So there are two things here. First, Vamsidas, exactly. So Vamsidas Babaji was not serving his deities. He was talking to his deities. First thing, his advancement was on that platform where he was literally speaking to his deities. You know, in heart of our heart, even though we know this is Supreme Lord, there somewhere we know this is brass, marble and wood. We are not come to the stage where we are talking to the deities. And that's where, even though many times we are living under their shelter, under their care, many times we act as if they don't even exist. But he was not like that. He was on the platform where, you know, we have a mobile phone or we have our cupboard. We even put lock on that. Means even we put password on that to save, to protect. And he left his keys with the deities. The realization is very different between us and him. So him going through that pastime, when pure devotees go through them, some struggling moments, apparently struggling moments, they are pastimes of the Lord for instructing us. But when we go through some struggling moments, that is our conditioning. So of course, Our only shelter is the Supreme Lord, and while after serving him for so many years, that naturally is there that, my dear Lord, I've done so much for you and I expect your shelter, your protection. Why are you not protecting? Yesterday Keshapra was mentioning that point. Anything when we are seeking from the Lord, the answer can be yes, no or wait. So that is basically more towards asking for a material boon. But in this situation, when one is gets a very strong material desire and one may get succumbed to it sometimes, what to speak of just getting distracted or disturbed by it, our reaction to the Supreme Lord should be only that, please help me become stronger and sincere than Vamsidas Babaji's reaction, because We know in we actually we know very clearly that we have not purified yet. Our faith may have become more stronger with time, but we have not attained asakti or attachment or ruchi or taste for chanting the holy name or serving the Supreme Lord. We don't cry like Srila Prabhupada did in seeking mercy. So even externally, many of our things don't match these great personalities. What to speak of internally? So when outside we don't match them, inside we don't match them, so then we naturally come to our humble state where we understand this is my own conditioning, my own contamination which is just surfacing up. And I just pray to the Lord to help me deal with it. Isn't it? Instead of telling or complaining to the Lord that why you didn't do anything about it, because I'm serving you from such and such so many years. Rather, Prabhupada's teaching actually, he says a lot. You know that pastime where Srila Prabhupada was telling, he told his devotees that Maya can never touch me. He told his disciples, Maya cannot touch me in a class. And then later that devotee saw that Prabhupada went in front of the deities and he was praying very intensely in front of the deities. And then the devotee asked Prabhupada, what were you praying? He said, I was praying to the deities that Krishna, please protect me from your Maya. Please protect me from your material energy so that Maya never touches me. But he said, just now you said Maya cannot touch you and now you are praying so intensely that Maya should not touch you. He said, yes, because I pray very intensely to the Supreme Lord that your material energy should not contaminate me, cover me up. That's why I can very boldly say that material energy cannot cover me up. Because I am praying with that same intensity. So Prabhupada was praying. He was praying. He was not telling the Supreme Lord, I am doing so much for you, you make sure Maya doesn't touch me. He is praying that please protect me from your material energy. He was showing, at least from our point of view, he was showing his example how a devotee is praying. Even whatever stage one has achieved, he is praying like that. And that has to be same followed by us. To pray to the Supreme Lord that I don't fall away. Than saying that I am serving you for so long, why you made me fall away? The difference. And that's why Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj told his disciples not to associate with him, Vamsidas Babaji, very closely, because you will not understand him and we may commit offenses. Because he's not acting as a standard script devotee we know of. He's acting on a very advanced platform which we can't understand. So, is it okay? Hare Krishna.
It was Kamalpati Goswami who asked
Prabhupada. Okay, he asked Prabhupada. Yeah, he can only go and ask directly, Prabhupada, what were you praying? Other devotees will not ask. Okay, we'll stop. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Time of another.